His body would shut down in one area, and the pain would all be in one area. And that was a great gift of God, and I knew that. I knew that was a gift from God, because he had so many things wrong with him that we only had to deal with the hip pain, and then the hip pain would stop, and then we'd only have to deal with the back pain, and then it was the arm pain and the face pain, and all these areas seemed to only come one at a time, and that was a gift of God, and I knew that.
Welcome to There Is Hope. Any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
So I have Joshua's mother with me, Pat. We thought we'd get a mom's perspective. And this has been a hard journey for her. It started on August 1st. So Pat, August 1st, you got a phone call. And what was that phone call? Do you remember it?
I don't even remember who called. All I remember is we were driving down the road going towards Jacksonville, and all of a sudden we get this call. The sheriff's department, my sister reminds me. And all I think was, get to Joshua as fast as we can get to him. And so we were headed to the emergency room.
And this was in Medford.
Medford, Oregon. And I don't remember anything except I have to get to him.
And then once you got there, then something changed as soon as you got there, as far as he wasn't going to stay. Did you actually even get to see him before he got to to Portland?
Yes, one of the pilots that had flown him there was out in the waiting room, and I was all disgruntled, disheveled, basically. The lady was trying to tell me how to get to the emergency room with directions, and I couldn't keep the thought in my head. So this guy who was the pilot said, come here, I'll show you, I'll take you back there. So he took me, and Josh was there. Josh was laying on the gurney, and he said he was in writhing pain, but he said, it wasn't my fault. The guy with the dreadlocks was in my lane. He was in my lane. He said it three times. So it was that's what he said. And I wrote that down. He said, 45 degree angle. The guy was in my lane, the guy with the dreads. It wasn't my fault. And then they whisked him off into another plane. They were about to fly. They had a flight crew out in the hallway who was ready to fly him to OHSU in Portland.
And so then they're flying him to Portland, and then you drove to...
My daughter and I got in the car, threw stuff in the car, and hit the road and went to Portland.
And that's about, a five-hour drive?
Four
and a half-hour drive. So then the issue becomes, we have COVID. And so there's all these guidelines about, in some places, a family member can't even be in the hospital. And Josh and I have talked a lot about advocacy. And so you know what went on by you being in the hospital. What do you think would have happened if you had not been in that first week, first month, first few days? What do you think Josh's story would be if you had not been there? If they just said no family members allowed.
I don't think he would have lived, to tell you the truth, because there's not enough nurses, there's not enough people that know your family member. You've got to have an advocate. I spent 13 hours a day with him, breathing with him through the pain, because none of their drugs would work.
And then you also had the problem that Josh and I have talked about this, but they're experimenting with him. You're a mom, how did it feel?
Pretty terrible. They would bring in doctors, a whole group of doctors, and they would start with a drug. I would say, he's already taken that drug. That one does not work. Then they wouldn't listen to me for a while, the first crews that came in, and they would start all over. Start at the bottom with this drug. I said, my kids can't take that drug. Neither one of them. It doesn't work for either one of them. Then they would give them a tiny bit of the next drug that's up higher. And then they would go, and then they finally, at the end of about, I don't know how many crews, they sent a drug team in there, a pain team, 10 surgeons and doctors. And they wanted to start all at the bottom again. And I about went nuts. So basically, I felt like somebody was running us through a ringer. And so I was there 13 hours a day, and then I would have them call me in the middle of the night if you went into a number 10 or number 9-10 pain, and I would go back to the hospital and just breathe him through every minute for hours and hours on end. It was absolutely horrific for him, and then me to watch him, and nothing I could do about it.
and nothing you could do. You're a woman of faith. Did you have to call out to God quite a bit?
I did a lot of praying and begging, and I was traumatized with him. And all I could do was pray. I didn't feel all spiritual. I didn't feel like anybody was helping. But on the way, I used to have to walk almost a half a mile to park. And through the building, I would, and God would speak to my heart and say to me, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me?" And I would say, "Yes, Lord." And I'd go.
It has been, I think it's 7 months, someplace around there. 7 months later, your son is flying out to Arkansas. He is going to be hopefully just walking with a cane. When you saw him, that first week, 2 weeks, did you ever think that there'd be a day that he'd just be walking with a cane?
It was very hard to even imagine that. I just wanted him to live because I didn't think he was going to live. Every day I was praying that he would live.
So you had no, even though you'd want to have the faith and the belief and everything else that for him that he's going to make this, but there is no way in your mind's eye that you could see that there was, that would be the case at that time.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking about what was happening. His body would shut down in one area and the pain would all be in one area. And that was a great gift of God. And I knew that. I knew that was a gift from God because he had so many things wrong with him that we only had to deal with the hip pain. And then the hip pain would stop. And then we'd only have to deal with the back pain. And then it was the arm pain and the face pain. And all these areas seemed to only come one at a time. And that was a gift of God. And I knew that.
Yeah, I remember the calls I would get because I'm in Arkansas. And I'd get either text messages or calls. You could see that happening. It was like, it was frustrating because it seems like there was an answer to prayer and things would be okay. And then something else would pop up and it just seemed why? But then you're given a different perspective and that's praise God for why, right?
We could only handle one misery at once. I mean, and they were, I don't think anybody can realize what number 9 and 10 pain looks like. I mean, it was scaring the nurses.
And I've seen it. I've only got to see it a few times. And you're saying that could be for
hours. Sometimes 6 hours. Me standing within 3 inches of his mouth saying, "Breathe in with your nose and out with your mouth. In with your nose and out with your mouth. Imagine yourself floating on a feather. In with your nose and out through your mouth. Breathing with him. Hours on end." It was very hard for him and very hard. It was just plain hard.
What if you weren't there? Do you even want to think about that?
I do not want to think about that. I don't know how anybody could do that without somebody.
And so then one reason Josh and I are doing these interviews, because somebody's going to have to go through this sometime. And we talk about what if somebody that doesn't have anybody in their life. So one of the things that Josh wants to be able to do at some point is if he hears a situation like this, especially if that's a vet, since he's a vet, is something sounds so crazy. You mean go to a total stranger's bed and say, "You know what, I'm just gonna hang, can I just stay here for 4 hours and walk with this person?" Does it make sense to you?
It makes total sense to me. Everybody, I don't care who you are, if you have a relative or a friend that's going in the hospital, don't let them go alone.
And yet with COVID, some places that's the case. So
they would only let us in one person in 24 hours, and we couldn't switch until that 24 hours was up.
In Arkansas, it's probably changed now, but before I left, it was still almost impossible for even one family member to be with the loved one that's having a heart attack, having a stroke, accident, to be in with them. And it's just hard to even, you know, comprehend a situation like that. Well, now we're 7 months later. Again, Joshua is so different from where he was at. We've done many shows on where he's been. What's a joy that you have? And you talked about this terrible sorrow, but what's a joy, or what's some things, some good out of all that's gone on?
To see how God has changed his heart towards God. He's so aware of God even more, and wanting to serve him, and also just to watch him walk upright is an absolute gift from God. It's amazing that he's alive, that he can talk, that he looks like he hasn't even been in an accident. I mean, he honestly except the cane, and he, it's amazing. He's a miracle. And I do trust God now explicitly.
So would you say in the midst of this, you have, your faith is stronger?
Definitely stronger, yes.
And I can say for myself, not being there was probably the greatest blessing in the world because I didn't have to see it. But so many times we'd pray and get people praying, we'd get a whole prayer team going, we'd get a message back, he's doing better. We could see answered prayer. We could see answered prayer just by the responses that we would get. And I have to say that my faith has grown in the midst of that. And yet, when I was with him and when he had his hip surgery and he went into level 8, 9, 10 pain, I have to be honest, I don't know if I had any faith. But you know what I went by? Is all the past stories, all the different things, all the different events that we've seen where God has worked, God has worked, God has worked. And I think I want our listeners to know that you may not have faith at the time, but when you go through something tragic and you see God ultimately work through it, there's a reservoir of faith deep in that you don't know. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. It has changed my faith level. And I was in faith saying, yes, Lord, I trust you. Yes, Lord, I trust you. And he did what he would put a peace over my heart. Even in the midst of all this, there was like a hand on my heart. And I know that was the prayers of all the people that were praying. And I wanted you to know how grateful. I am so grateful they were praying. And I will never, ever forget that as long as I live.
Well, and I don't know if you know this. I don't know if I share with you, but there, I don't know. You had the people on your prayer group from your church, his stepmom, my group. I don't know how many. There's probably at least over 100 people that have prayed for Josh. But you know, there are people who don't know him whatsoever, and they actually, there's people I know that is from a TV show, Deadliest Catch. You know, Deadliest Catch. Mm-hmm. Captain Phil. I overseen his forum, and his website. And there are people, I mean, he's passed away a long time ago. That show's long gone. And yet there's people today I'm still connected with that were praying for Josh. Because God doesn't care where the connection is. That's the crazy part.
There were people at the hotel that waited for me. Every night I'd come in at 3 a.m. and they go, how's he doing? How's he doing? We're praying.
And that's the power of prayer, that it doesn't matter who the person is that's praying. It doesn't matter how you know them, that God hears the prayers of his people. Well, as we finish up here, I told you I was going to make it easy for you and not push you real hard on it. But, you know, you're happy to see what's going on with Josh. You see, again, him walking. He's talking. Honestly, he hasn't been in the pain episodes haven't been crazy. He's in level 6. I don't know if you know this, but most of the time he's in level 6 pain. But he don't have the pain episodes where he gets the major surges. And so it's funny, you're happy about level 6 pain for your son, right?
I know.
That's kind of a crazy way of looking at it.
That sounds crazy, but the truth of the matter is that there's a big difference between 6 and 8, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah. But Josh would always say it's like the earthquake with the scale where it quadruples and whatever it does.
Yes. It's exponential.
Exponential, yeah. So any last thoughts about all that's gone on in this journey? What is there that you want to share with the listeners or something that's on your heart?
Well, it doesn't seem like it's worth it at the time you're going through it. But down the road, it will be worth it. I guess it's kind of like having a baby. It doesn't seem like it's worth it while you're in pain.
Right.
But then you've got the child.
Right, right.
And it is worth it. It is worth it. I can say that now.
Yeah.
I couldn't have said, before it was like, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do
probably this. Even a few months ago, you couldn't have really said
like,
it at times.
I'm not going to make it. I don't think I can do this. One day at a time, no. 1 hour at a time, no. 1 minute at a time.
Was it like that?
Absolutely. 1 minute at a time. And 1 minute takes a year.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like forever. For God, it's nothing, you know. For us, we're here on this earth, and we live by time. It's all worth it. And I think for me to say the worth it is, as you know, Josh and I are back in relationship. He is walking with God. He has a desire to be used by God. I think all those things are worth it, all that's gone on in the midst of that. We don't wish it upon anybody. It could. He could get right with God without this. We could have got restored without this. But God is in the midst of all that goes on, and ultimately when his hand's in the midst of it, it turns out for good. It has to. One last thing is, you and I talked, his stepmom and I talked. There were times where we didn't know if Josh was going to make it. There's a couple of times we went in the emergency room. We did not know he's make it. And yet when we talked, we had peace. Can you share something about how, it sounds gory in a way, how can a mother and a father of a son that could die could have peace even if he passed away? And yet there were times where we talked where we didn't know. You want to share something about that, explain that? I don't think, there's a lot of people who wouldn't understand that.
I'm not sure I can explain it. All I know is it felt like a hand on my chest, like calming me. I could feel it, physically feel a sensation of peace. It's past all understanding.
It truly is, isn't it? And the scripture says that.
Yeah.
A peace that passes understanding. I think of one time when you guys had the fires here. Now, I'm in Arkansas. I can't do a thing. It don't do any good to fly over at the time because I can't even go in the hospital, all this other stuff. And I can't fix forest fires, okay? But he's in the hospital. The fire is coming. You guys live just a few miles. You were just a few miles from where the fire was coming towards you. He potentially has to evacuate, and he calls me up and he says, well, Dad, I don't know. I might say my goodbyes. I may burn up in this fire. And I'm thinking, now this is absolutely ridiculous. His motorcycle catches on fire, all this stuff, and he's going to die in a hospital because of a forest fire that's going out of control. And then they said, well, we can evacuate. But I'm thinking all the patients they got to evacuate at that time, he's not walking out, all that stuff. And yet there was a peace that if it happened, even though it seems like the one wrong way for somebody to die after what he's gone through, but there was that peace that passes understanding, saying, you know, God's in control. And I think you and I both, and even with him, was if the pain is never going to go, there's a better place. Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's the hope we have.
It's easier to go be with the Lord than it is to live through this.
Yeah.
It is easy.
Yeah.
But.
And I think that's what we all had, is that we knew where he would be and knew what his eternity would be. And so if this is going to be the way this is that it seemed at the time, it would be better for him to be gone. And then we didn't have a death wish on him or anything else. Obviously, we didn't. We stood in the gap. But
I was able to accept it, though.
Yeah, yeah. And know that there would be relief. And that's the hope that we have, and the hope of the resurrection. So, but thank you, Pat, for doing something that you felt uncomfortable doing. I appreciate that tremendously.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only. For more information on what you've heard about today, click on thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org.